Okay, maybe everybody's got one now. You got two papers in there. The first is just an outline of what we'll be doing this quarter. We cover the book of Genesis. Lays out what we've covered in each class. And all I ask you to do ahead of time is read the chapters. So if you look down through there, you can tell what chapters we'll be covering each time. So if you'll read those chapters two or three times before you come to class, it'll help out a lot. And we'll go through it from there. Those who have been in my classes before, you know, I have a handout almost every class, so I'll give you something at the beginning of the class, and we'll talk about that more later on. But this morning, we'll get into it, and we'll talk about Genesis a little bit later. This morning, for those who are in here the last three classes that Tim did, we're going to kind of do a little repeat. I'm sorry about that, but when I've taught Genesis before, this is always my first class, is to go through the 17 periods. And we have some in here who were not here the last three class periods. So we'll go through these again this morning. There's a blank piece of paper in there that's got 17 little blocks marked on it. What I would suggest you do is as we go through it, write what you can down there. It just helps reinforce what's on the screen. We'll go pretty fast. We've got to cover the entire Bible period this morning. So don't worry about neatness. Scribble it in there and get what you can done. So that'll be our class this morning, cover the 17 periods. Then we'll start with Genesis 1 on Wednesday night. Okay, periods of Bible history. We talk about these 17 periods of Bible history. Nothing magic about the number 17. Could have been 12 periods or 20 periods or whatever, but so we got to divide into 17 periods. So let's talk about those this morning. All right, first period, it's before the flood. What happened in the period before the flood? Let's go through it right quick. Genesis chapter 1 covers the creation. Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve in the garden. And we're going just to highlights this morning. So, creation chapter 1, Adam and Eve in the garden in chapter 2. And we don't know for sure where the Garden of Eden was, but here's a map. And if you see the Tigris and Euphrates rivers on there, then coming down through here, this is the supposed place where it could be down in, right above the Persian Gulf because of the river names that are there. So don't get hung up on that's where it is, but it's a possibility where it may be. While we're here, look at this little bitty lake right up to the top. Just keep in mind where that is. We'll get back to it in just a minute. Okay. All right, back to Genesis before the flood. Chapter 3 is the first sin. When Satan deceived Eve, she gave to Adam. It's also the first one of those gotta know verses. Genesis 3:15 is one of those gotta know it type things. It's the first promise of the seed, the Christ coming through the seed of a woman from that point. And then Genesis chapter 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. And then Genesis 5 are the generations to get you from Adam down to Noah. That's all before the period before the flood. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 of Genesis. And most everybody knows what's in those chapters. Alright. Then in the second period would be the flood. Genesis chapter 6, we see the wickedness of the world. Man had got so wicked, God wished he had never made man, decided to destroy it. So he called Noah to build the ark. That's in chapter 6. Chapter 7, the flood begins. Waters start coming down and have the actual flood. And then 8, the waters start receding. Chapter 8, the waters go away. Noah sends out the birds. And the ark lands in this area of Mount Ararat. Remember that little lake I told you to look at a while ago? The barriers were down here, so at the bottom edge. It's way up north of where we were. The northern part of the, above the Mesopotamia Valley. Where the ark landed in Mount Ararat. People today, you read about going over trying to find the ruins of the ark. So then in chapter 9, we have those four or five things that we talked about when Tim went through it. We have meat given for food for the first time. We have the law of capital punishment, blood for blood. I didn't put it up here, but not to eat blood is one of them too. Rainbow promise, never destroy the earth again by the water. And then the sin of Noah when he got drunk, and the nakedness, Ham's looking on him, and then, of course, the curse for Cana because of that. So that's the period of the flood, Genesis 6, 7, 8, 9. Then we have some generations again in chapter 10. Third period then is Genesis chapter 11, one chapter. And this is the scattering of the people, the Tower of Babel, the confusion of the language. And this happened on what's called the Plains of Shinar, which is just above where we were a while ago. We looked at the possible size of the Garden of Eden. Plains of Shinar. One chapter for that whole section there, scattering of the people. Then we get into the patriarchs, the fourth period. And these are the four we'll cover this quarter. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Patriarch simply means father rule. Paternal, you see the word patriarch in there. And monarch, the word arch, father rule. And we have the three patriarchs. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is going to cover the rest of the book of Genesis, chapter 12 through 50. The next got to know verses. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, 3, and verse 7. These are the promises, the first time they were given to Abraham. Nation, land, and seed, the three promises. And we'll see those as we go through the rest of the story this morning. The nation, the land, and the seed. And these things are important because if you look over in Acts chapter 3, toward the very end of the chapter down there, when Peter's preaching to the Jews right after the crucifixion of Christ in the Acts 2 sermon, he references, as he says, the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are being fulfilled now through Christ. That ties all this together from that standpoint. And then, of course, Jacob's name changed to Israel, his 12 sons, the 12 tribes, and children of Israel come from that. Joseph being the link, he was sold by his brothers into Egypt. They thought they were doing a bad thing to him because they hated him. God's doing it for his own purpose there. And then the famine and the family of Joseph, maybe Jacob, all the brothers, moving down into Egypt. About 70 people moved into Egypt there. This is the time of the patriarchs. And it's the trip Abraham made. Abraham went from Ur, down this area we looked at earlier, up to Haran, where his father Terah died, remember that? And he came down then into the land of Canaan, was the famine down to Egypt and back here. So we'll see these cities in Shechem, Bethel, he came back to Pila, Beersheba, all those during this quarter. We'll talk about those various cities there. Now, they're in Egypt. Then they moved down there. Joseph in charge, second in the land. And now, 400 years passed. 400 years later. And a Pharaoh's rep comes up who doesn't know Joseph, had no relationship with Joseph. People are now in bondage. They're enslaved. So, that brings up the deliverance. We have Moses come on the scene as a deliverer. Well, the 10 plagues are given. Time maximum number 10, the death of the firstborn of anything, any in Egypt. And then the people leave, they cross the Red Sea, travel down to Mount Sinai. On the way down, they're given manna to eat, manna for food, and they complain to God. So, they're up in the land of Goshen in Egypt. They travel down to Mount Sinai. And there we have a number of things that happen at Mount Sinai. And these are four things. Four really important things. The covenant with God. They're given the law. They're given the priesthood and the tabernacle where the priests serve. So a special relationship with God. The law he gave them. The priesthood he set up and the tabernacle where they serve. And now the first of those three promises to Abraham are now fulfilled. They are now a nation. In fact, if you look at back one of the verses in Genesis, actually says they became a nation in the land of Egypt. But now they're organized, they have the law, they have the covenant, they have the priesthood, they have the tabernacle. So the first of those four promises of your descendants, I'll make a great nation, has now happened. So now from here they go up from Mount Sinai up to Kadesh Barnea. We're going to send the spies out. And here's Mount Sinai, that in the bottom part, between the two fingers of the gulfs there. and they go up to Kadesh Barnea, right on the southern edge of the land of Canaan. From here, the spies are sent out, and they come back with a bad report, and that brings on the wandering in the wilderness, the next period, period 6. They sent us to wander a year for each day the spies were gone. And that's in Numbers chapter 14, where that occurs. Lots of things happen during this period of wandering in the wilderness. In Numbers chapter 16, we have the story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they're rebelling against Moses, rebelling against the authority God has set up, and how they were handled, and the earth opened up and swallowed them up. Chapter 20 is a big chapter. Miriam, Moses and Aaron's sister, dies here. In this same chapter, we have the sin of Moses when he's told to bring forth water from the rock. He said, must we bring forth water? And of course, this all led to Moses not going to the land of Canaan. So we have Edom. Don't let them go through their land. Now, who is Edom? Think about that. Edom's the descendants of Esau. We got the children of Israel, descendants of Jacob, two brothers, and now they're having this spat, this war type thing here. Don't let them go through. And we'll look at a minute of the map and see where Edom is located if we go through here. And also in this chapter 20 is where Aaron dies, Moses' brother, the first high priest. Dies in chapter 20. Alright, moving on, chapter 21. Remember the story of the bronze serpent? The serpent's coming and eating and biting the people, and Moses puts the serpent upon the pole, they look at it and they live. Well, why is that important to think about? Well, in John chapter 3, verse 14, right before that famous verse 16 there, what's Christ say? Just as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Remember that verse? That refers back to this thing here in Numbers chapter 21. In 22, we have the story of Balak and Balaam and Balak. And then in 26, all the wanderings happen. It's time to take a census again to see what's happened. All the males above 20 years old have now died, except Joshua and Caleb. So the wandering of the wilderness period is about over. That's what it was for. It took unbelieving people out. 27, Joshua is appointed to be the leader. So, Moses is about to die. Joshua will be the new leader of the people. And then in Deuteronomy 34, after Moses delivered all those speeches in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 34, he dies on Mount Nebo, looking across the land, didn't enter it. He died there, God buries him, and they're ready to enter the land. So, at the wandering in the wilderness, we're ready to go into the land of Canaan. So our next period is going to be the invasion and conquest. So they're poised here, and this is where some of these people are, just for reference here. If they came up from Mount Sinai, here's Kadesh Barnea, where the spies were sent out. They wandered down here. Here's Edom. They wouldn't let them go through the land. Here's Moab and Ammon. Who are they? Where'd they come from? Lot, okay? The two sons born to Lot's daughters and their incest with him. Okay, so these are all people that's related to the children of Israel that go through here. So, ready for the invasion and conquest. Yeah, just across the Jordan. Ready to go across the Jordan and enter the land. So, chapter 3 of Joshua now, they crossed the Jordan. Chapter 5, they have circumcision put back in. We'll talk about that this quarter, because Abraham and circumcision was given. They hadn't practiced it during this time. And now they start it back up. The manna stops. Why? God fed them with manna during the wilderness wanderings. That time's coming over. What's the land of Israel? Flowing with milk and honey. Remember those words? Don't need a manna anymore. So in chapter 6, they go in to take Jericho. March around the city. Everything looks great. Happens. Chapter 7, they go in to take Ai. Little small town, nothing to it. And they have major problems. So they should take Ai in chapter 8. Then in chapter 9, they make this covenant with the Gibeonites. They tricked them into this covenant. There's some important events as you start into the invasion conquest. As Tim mentioned in his thing before, we have actually three campaigns here. They go first in, take the central part of the land, then the southern part, and the northern part. So, the central campaign, southern part, and then the northern part, as they take this land. And then the next big thing that comes in is they divide the land up 12 tribes, 2.5 on the east side, the rest on the west side of the Jordan. And Joshua 21, verse 43, the land promise is now fulfilled. So we got two of the three promises to Abraham that are fulfilled. He's been given the land. But God told Abraham when he came through, I will give you this land, your descendants. The end of the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua dies. So that's their next leader, Moses, and then Joshua. And now they need some leadership. What's he going to be? Well, we have the period of the judges. The judges are the next leaders. And there's four words that I use when I go through this to talk about the cycle that goes through in the judges. And they all start with R. That is, there's rebellion. The people rebel against God. They don't worship the idols. They don't serve Him right. So then there's a repression, or oppression, or a suppression, or works better. Repression. So they bring this, the foreign country comes in, or foreign enemies come in, and they give them a hard time. They put them in slavery or whatever. And then people in that condition then say it's time to repent and turn back to God. So he raises up one of the judges then to rescue them. So you have rebellion, repression, repentance, and rescue. 15 judges, actually 14, if you count Abimelech as a judge, with 15, which was promised said. 15 judges here, some examples of those would be Gideon, his 300 men, remember that? They went to war, he keeps cutting the number down. Jephthah, his rash promise, turned out his daughter. And of course, Samson, and all his strength. I read a book recently about Samson, it's a quite interesting read. Look at that, the details of the life of Samson. Eli and his wicked sons. And then the last judge was Samuel. He was a prophet, a priest, and a judge. And it's during this time that the people said, we want a king. And the king will be like the nations around us. And so Saul is going to be their king. And this period lasted about 350 years. Through these judges. Okay? That's the first 8 of the 17. So now we've got them in the land, and they divide the land up, and here are the judges, and we want a king, so that leads us into the United Kingdom. We have three kings here, Saul, David, and Solomon. And now we can start putting some time frames on some of these things. The dates come into play a little bit better than what they might have in the time before this. Saul reigns from about 1040 to 1000 BC. Each of these kings are 40 years apiece. That's nice and simple. So about 1040 to 1000 BC. And probably the most famous story we have about Saul is in 1 Samuel chapter 15, he's dealing with the Amalekites, which were his ultimate downfall. When he was told to go wipe them out, take them out totally, and he didn't do it, and he tried to blame the people and all this. Remember those stories there? So that's Saul. And the little map up there is going to show that kind of the area that they were ruling over. Look at Saul's and watch the next one go to David's and the next go to Solomon. You see, it expands out as we go through the three kings here. So Saul, 1040 to 1000, and then David, the next 40 years, so 1000 to 960 BC, and lots of stories we talk about with David. Of course, David and Bathsheba comes up, but we'll concentrate and think about the preparation for the temple. He wanted to build a house for God, and God said, no, you can't. And through your son, I will build a house that will last forever. That's 2 Samuel chapter 7. Another one's got to know passages there. He didn't know 2 Samuel 7. That promise is given to David. And David got everything ready for the temple. You see, he ended in 960. And now Solomon comes in 960. Look down the next line. In 956, only 4 years later, he starts building the temple. Because everything was ready. Solomon, known for his wisdom, his wives, and the idolatry they led him into. His downfall was just that, the idolatry of all those wives that he married, what they brought in. But go back and look at the maps right quick. Come back to them. Watch the size of the territory change. There's Saul's, there's David's, there's Solomon. It gets bigger and bigger as they expand the territory that they're ruling over in that time. All right, United Kingdom. Summary there, 1040 to 1000 Saul, 1000 to 960 David, 960 to 920 would be Solomon. So about 920, 921, we're going to have the kingdom divide. And then Jeroboam and Rehoboam, that's what we're going into next year. So now we have the divided kingdom. And during the divided kingdom, it lasted about 200 years, 921 to 721. Some of these dates we kind of ease on a little bit, make it easier to remember it. 200 is a nice, easy number there. Have Israel in the north. So now we got a division. A division occurs just above the edge of the Dead Sea. Just above Jerusalem. Across there. Israel's in the north. Jeroboam was the first king. 10 tribes in the north. He sets up calves at Dan and at Bethel. Dan way up in the north part of the country. Bethel just across in the bottom south part of the nation of Israel. One big thing about the nation of Israel, there were no good kings. None. No good kings ever reigned in Israel. They were all wicked. Some very, very wicked. Ahab. They fell to Assyria in 721 B.C. And they're never known of again as a nation. They're gone and gone forever. They will never be brought back to be a nation again. So when the Assyrians came in and took the nation of Israel, that's the end of them. All right, in the south then, at the same time, we have Rehoboam reigning. He has two tribes. And this is the lineage of the house of David. 2 Samuel 7 comes through this. Rehoboam being Solomon's son. This comes through here. Two tribes in the south. Rehoboam's a king. They try to follow God. Lots of wicked kings. We'll get to in a minute. But there are some good kings there. And in 721, when Israel fell, Hezekiah is the king that's reigning in Judah in the south. So with Israel gone and no longer a nation, the period of the divided kingdom is over. Now we got Judah left alone. We're now for the 11th period. Judah alone. And this lasted from 721 to 586 B.C., about 135 years. Now, watch the dates. They're going to get a little twisty here when we start looking at the dates. So it lasted from 586 B.C. We'll see the change up a little bit as we go through here. So Judah alone, Manasseh was the most evil king in the southern kingdom. He reigned for 55 years. And it's because really of his reign that brings the ultimate downfall of the nation and of what he set in place. Josiah was a good king, reigned after him 31 years. But then Jerusalem fell to the nation of Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, in 586 B.C. So the city of Jerusalem actually succumbs in 586 B.C. So Judah long is gone, and they're going to be taken into captivity. But watch the dates. 586 is when Jerusalem fell. The Babylonian Empire, and here's Babylon right up here on the Euphrates River. All right, captivity, the next period. Judah's taken into Babylonian captivity. But the captivity starts in 606 B.C. Now, Jerusalem did not fall until 586 B.C. So even before that, though, they are taken away captive in groups. They come into the raids, take away a group of people, and go back. Yes. It's going to last 70 years. The 70 years from the 606 date, not from the 586 date. The 70 years, the prophecy there, 606 to 536. So 536, they'll come back. But again, they come back in waves. They don't come back all at one time. So a little confusing on the dates there. So the first captives are taken in about 605, 606 B.C., and this would include Daniel. We'll talk about Daniel more in a minute, but we've got to remember the image in Daniel chapter 2. It's very important as we go through the rest of it here to have a good picture of that image in Daniel chapter 2. 597, next group's taken. This would include Ezekiel. And then 586, the Jerusalem finally falls, 2 Kings chapter 25, and they are taken away into captivity. So the time it falls, 586, you've already had captives up there since 606 in Babylon. Now, we have three major prophets during this time. Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah. Let's just look at them for just a minute here. Think about Daniel. Remember him with a bunch of D's. Daniel interpreted the dreams of Nebuchadnezzar, ate the king's delicacies, the dainties. Remember Darius was one of the kings during his time. He put in a den of lions. All the D's you can associate with Daniel there. He was taken in that first group in 606. He was in the palace of the king. So he was in captivity, but he was serving in the palace of the king. Ezekiel, also a priest, was taken in the second group in 597. Here's a bunch of E's, remember, with Ezekiel. He was in exile. He was out with everyday people. He wasn't in the palace like Daniel was. He was out with the people. And he was talking to them. He was talking to them about why. Why were you taken into captivity? What happened? What caused this? And he got prophesied about two other kingdoms falling. That would be Egypt and Edom. So the E's that go with Ezekiel. Then we have Jeremiah. Jeremiah was back in Judea and Jerusalem. He kept telling them justice is coming. That was his message over and over and over. So the letters that kind of help you remember what happened and where the people were. So Daniel's in the palace, Ezekiel's with the people, and Jeremiah's back in Jerusalem. This is after the Babylonians, the next kingdom comes in as the Persians. This is a picture of their expanded territory out there. And after 70 years, we have the return from captivity. So in 536, the decree of Cyrus, the Persian king, Ezra chapter 1, they start coming back. They come back in at least three different groups. Zerubbabel comes back first. His mission is to rebuild the temple. And remember, when it's built, it's not like Solomon's. People weep because of the way the temple's built. Two reasons. One, because it is built. They're glad to see that back. But also, it's not anything like the temple that Solomon had. The temple was Zerubbabel. Got the story of Esther in here, about 483 or so B.C. It fits in this time frame here. Then we have 458. Ezra comes back. His mission is to restore the worship. Zerubbabel comes back to the temple. Ezra comes back to restore the worship. And then Nehemiah comes back, and his rebuilds the walls. So three different people, mainly. There are others, but those three at least we can remember the captivity and the returning from the captivity. And this period ends with Malachi in about 433-432 B.C. So that brings on Malachi, the last prophet in the Old Testament. That brings on the years of silence. Prophesied in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. And to get across this bridge, we need to know the image of Daniel chapter 2. Babylon, the head of go, the Persians, then the Grecians, Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire. That brings us across this period when there's no biblical story to tell us about it. We use that on that image there. So, what's going on during the years of silence? Well, this is kind of complicated. We don't look at it that much because it's not biblical stuff, but let's run through it right quick. 331 Persia falls. That's the second period, the Medo-Persians on the statue. Alexander the Great comes in next. He actually lived longer than this. This is the time he was in charge and control of the Greek Empire. About 334 to 323, very short period of time. And after this, in 63 B.C., Rome's going to take over Palestine. And that's what's of interest to us, is that impact there. In about 37 B.C., Herod's made king. So we get the stage set to go into the New Testament. We have the four periods, the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, the Greeks. Now the Romans are in charge. Herod's the king, and Judea. So that brings us up to set for things for the New Testament to start. And he actually begins building his temple, the one we see about in Christ's day, in about 20 B.C. There it does. Then in Luke chapter 1, this period of silence is broken. When the angel appears to Zechariah and tells him about the birth of John, who was to come to prepare the way for Christ. Well, leading up, everything being set for the life of Christ. So if you look at the years of silence, it roughly, very roughly, breaks down this way. 400 years. In the 100 years, each of four things happening during this time. Medo-Persians are in power for about 100 years. And then Alexander the Great, and the Greek influence is there for 100 years. He didn't rule that long, but the influence is there. The Maccabean Revolt, and then the Roman Empire is coming in. So that kind of fills the gap between that 400 years there. But now we're going to start concentrating on Palestine. So now, instead of being in Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom, we have three areas: Judea, Samaria, and then Galilee up here in the north. We'll talk about in the New Testament times. It brings us to the life of Christ. We break it into seven sections for easy remembering here. Seven sections, and starts off with the years of preparation, 30 years. Up to the time of John's baptism, when the public ministry begins, 30 years here. And then the beginning of his ministry, about 6 months here. The great Galilean ministry, when he spends a lot of time in Galilee, 18 months. Periods of retirement, when he backs off and starts teaching his apostles more for 6 months. Then he closes down the ministry and winding down, getting ready for the trip to Jerusalem for 6 months. So you've got 6 months, 18, 6, and 6, making up about the 3-year period of the life of Christ that he was in his public ministry. And of course, the last week, what goes on there, and then the resurrection and exaltation. So if you want to get your acronym, remember those. I've got mine. It's not pretty, but it works. So think about how to remember those 7 periods there, the life of Christ. Okay, after the resurrection, exaltation, he goes back into heaven, Holy Spirit comes, and, oh, by the way, got this one, sorry, seed promise now fulfilled. The third promise to Abraham. Through his seed, all the nations be blessed. That is through Christ. So now, get here to the early church, Acts chapter 2, the first gospel sermon is preached. Now we have a spiritual nation, not just the physical nation of Israel, but a spiritual nation coming from the seed of Abraham through Christ. Church is established in Acts 2. Then it starts spreading out. Acts chapter 8. Moves to the Samaritans. Starts moving out of Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, other most parts of the earth. The Samaritans hear the gospel in chapter 8. 10. Significant because it's the first Gentile convert with Cornelius. And then 13, we start with Paul and all of his travels to journeys as it spreads out. So we're here in the early church. Read number 16. And I'll leave one more, and that's the letters to the Christians. Just one slide, real short. And that is when the gospel was spread out to all the known world. And you have the letters written by Paul, Peter, James, Jude, and John. So these 5 plus Matthew, Mark, and Luke make us the 8 authors of the New Testament. That's written in Hebrews, if you don't know. Right there. Yep. A bunch of them. Now, in case you can't write as fast as I can talk, okay, there's another handout coming out here. It's not so you don't put your paper in your little book yet. So everything you should have written down now, I'm going to hand out to you. Okay. So make it nice and easy. What this is a handout that's got all these 17 periods listed out on there. And it's got all the things that we just talked about being under there and a bunch of verses that go with it. So it's about 4 or 5 pages long. It's a good summary, overall look at these 17 periods. So you put that in your book. If I said you couldn't write quite as fast as I talk, so you have those down. I asked you to write them simply because of the more it helps you write, the more you write, the more you learn, things like that. So. All right. Questions, comments? Some I left out, you should have put in. The 6 are? Repeat. Yeah, they repeat that same cycle over and over the judges. Yeah. Yeah, they sure did. Over and over. Anything else? Right. Some point I missed, I'm going to talk about something there, some correction. I get something wrong. Okay. I've got about 4 or 5 minutes left. I'm finished. Jimmy Krause had this thing about, I'm pumping sand now, I don't run out of, there's no water unless my well, I'm pumping sand out. So I'll get to that point if I wind up here. For Wednesday night, read Genesis chapter 1. And actually, we won't cover much of it. But I want you to think about those first five words in Genesis chapter 1 and what they really mean. Let's kind of analyze those. We'll talk about them in class Wednesday night. The first five words, which are, in the beginning, God created. Think about those first five words. We'll spend some time with those Wednesday night. We'll start looking at Genesis chapter 1. If you look at your schedule in the front there, and you just, like I said, just read the chapters as they're listed out down there. There's pages in here are listed in Bob and Sanders' original book, when I worked off of. There's been a revision since then. Pages may not line up. If you need one of those books, if you don't have one in your family somewhere, let me know. We'll get to find you one. Okay. I got anything else? Yep. It's us. Right. Yep. This whole thing. That's why we go through this many times. Mike's got a good point. What we're looking at here is God's plan to save man. Okay. This is all this whole thing occurred down from the very first prophecy back in Genesis 3:15, all these others we looked at, and a bunch more we didn't look at. It all comes down to getting Christ come, the church established, and for us. Bottom line of it. That's why we drilled it so much. To understand. I did the same thing. Very first one of our summer classes we had. I did this with all those kids here. I had kids come up to me after that and say, I never saw an entire picture. People at East Side, we teach it all the time. They're used to it by now. But so many don't. They don't understand that entire layout of the thing of the Bible. What sin did in Genesis 3 and what God led up to Christ coming to do for us in the church. It's all built in that. Okay, that's all I have. Ready for Wednesday night in Genesis 1.